season of Pentecost this week. And at Pentecost, we celebrate the gift of the Spirit of the living God. And it is a gift. The Spirit poured out upon us. So today we're reading and remembering and living into that story from that first Pentecost. So we're reading from the book of Acts, chapter 2. And so hear this word now for us today. On the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my slaves, both men and women. In those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" A ministry friend of mine said just this past week that she thinks that Pentecost is the most underrated of church holidays, and I tend to agree. It's the birth of the church, it's the launch of the church into mission, and most importantly, it's the Spirit poured out upon all flesh. It's certainly something to celebrate. If you remember, early on in the mission and the ministry of the church, the apostles were seeking to carry out the mission of Jesus after his resurrection and ascension. They were trying to do the ministry they were called to do. And without Jesus there to guide them, it was a whole new experience, totally new and intimidating. And to be perfectly honest, I think they were a little lost, worn, and terribly in need of some help. They were a little wobbly, a little like toddlers first learning to walk. They needed help. I think we can all relate to that feeling. In the Gospel of John, there was a promise that was made by Jesus to the disciples before he left them. Before his ascension into heaven, he promised to send an advocate or helper, the Holy Spirit, to come upon them and lead and guide them into all truth, the scripture says. This is the kind of promise that it seems you would wait in desperation to be filled. When I was working at a home for troubled kids, One of the staff rules there was to never make promises to the kids. Don't make promises, because you just can't say for absolute certain you can keep them. These kids have had promises broken again and again, and they don't need any more disappointment. It can honestly feel like a waiting game for us still today. We're waiting, only waiting for a promise fulfilled. You might wonder about when that next Pentecost will be for you, when that Spirit will pour out and fill you, empower you. God has a pretty good track record, though. Sitting here, we know that God keeps promises. While the church has pictured the Holy Spirit in the form of a peaceful, graceful dove, the ancient Celtic people understood the Holy Spirit to be more like a wild goose. And when you hear the Spirit, hear of the Spirit descending on you like a dove, it's kind of a pleasant, peaceful image. The image of a wild goose, though, descending on you, not so much, not as peaceful, I don't think. Wild goose is a little more noisy, a little more bothersome kind of a bird, I think. But that's really not unlike the sometimes inconvenient, sometimes bothersome stirring of the Spirit within us, right? The great philosopher Soren Kierkegaard told a parable of the wild goose. One particular goose, he said, left its flock flying in their formation and went to search for food. It was weak and hungry. And luckily, it soon found a barnyard filled with good food, and it ate until it was full and then slept. And then when it woke up, it was alone, no fellow birds in sight. And then they heard the sound of geese honking above, and the sound stirred his spirit. But the comfort, the plenty of the barnyard, he stayed there and kept him there. The next day he heard the birds in flight, and the stirring was there again in his heart, but fainter. And again he resisted the calling of his spirit, and he stayed. And one day the birds flew by in their V formation, honking their call in their flight. And the wild goose, he didn't feel it. He didn't hear it. It's worth asking ourselves if we've so tamed the Spirit, if we've narrowed our expectations, so filled our lives that we've dulled our senses to the Spirit's calling. Are we listening? A couple of weeks ago, some of the young adults and families of the church went on our spiritual retreat. And during the retreat, we set aside a couple of hours to be silent. And not everyone really loves that. Being quiet, slowing down, living unhurried for a time, it's challenging sometimes. But we do. We quiet ourselves. We listen. Because we believe that we have a God who is still speaking, and the Spirit is still stirring, and we don't want to miss it. As the people were all together, gathered in that one place on that first Pentecost so long ago, the Spirit did indeed show up as promised. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was poured out on all flesh, young and old, male and female, and things are drastically different for those gathered there from there on out. They're filled with the Spirit of God. They're empowered, no longer the same. God keeps his promise for them and for us. The Spirit that was poured out so long ago was not just for them. It wasn't only for those early apostles, those first disciples. The Spirit is poured out for us just the same. We too are filled, empowered for a life in Christ. The story of that first Pentecost shows us how important it is for us to gather together in one place. Because so often it's when we're all gathered together that the Spirit comes. The story of that first Pentecost shows us that God does not discriminate, The Spirit of God is poured out on everyone, young and old, men and women, regardless of race or class. The Spirit of God comes and fills us up. At one time in the Old Testament, it seems that the Spirit was reserved for only the great prophets, the leaders, but things are different now. God gives real people like us, this gift of the Spirit. David Lose says that we often misinterpret Pentecost, or not just misinterpret it a little, but generally get Pentecost backwards, because as he said, the promised Holy Spirit is the presence of the crucified and resurrected Christ. The crucified and resurrected God that we meet in Jesus is a God of paradox, he says, and so we should look for no less in God's Holy Spirit. The Spirit does indeed empower us and fill us up. The Spirit can empower us to do wonderful God-inspired things for God's kingdom. But not only that, it should be an incredibly, incredibly humbling thing, humbling experience for us. It's this paradox of life in the Spirit, great empowerment at being filled and complete humility before God, the gift giver. The Apostle Paul talks about the gifts of the Spirit a whole awful lot in throughout the New Testament. And especially in 1 Corinthians, you hear Paul speak to people about their apparent arrogance and having received the gifts of the Spirit. And he says in chapter 13, If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mystery and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. We are humbled before God with love for all people if we're filled with the Spirit. Because where does that Spirit, that power come from? Not from us. We can't understand it or control it. We didn't do anything to deserve it or receive it. God is the giver of life and breath and Spirit. And so we give thanks to God. We can only give thanks. The preacher Fred Craddock said that I cannot describe the Holy Spirit. Cannot explain the Spirit of God. Jesus said it is like a mystery, like the wind. You don't see the wind, and yet you know when it comes and when it goes. It's significant, I think, that in the Bible that the Hebrew and the Greek word for Spirit can also mean breath or wind. The Spirit of God blows and like the wind comes and goes and we have no control. It's only a gift always. Several weeks ago, I was at a retreat with a large group of young ministers from all kinds of churches all over the United States. And we gathered in worship and prayer and discussion. And at one point in the retreat, we had a day to ourselves to be in prayer and silence with God, to listen for the Spirit. So early in that day, I began by taking a long walk. And I was determined that morning, I was determined to climb this mountain that was a little ways away. And I was in Arizona, and it was really hot. And as I walked, the sun was getting higher in the sky, and it just kept getting hotter. And just about as I was getting to the base of the mountain, my water bottle ran completely dry, and so I almost turned back, but I didn't. I went ahead and I began walking up the road up that mountain. I have to say that with about every step, I was regretting the whole thing, but you know it was too late. You know I was going to climb the thing. Might as well get to the top. So I found my way to the top, and I sat down on this rock. I looked out at the amazing view, and at first it was just more of that hot Arizona sun. But before long, there was this breeze. wind began to blow softly across my face. I began to realize that it wasn't just the wind that was blowing. It wasn't just the wind. That first time you felt that tug, that pull on your heart, in your life, when you felt that comfort, that unexplainable peace, the truth softly spoken within. It wasn't just the wind. When we're unsure, when we're lost or alone, bruised or broken, that gift of God that graces our lives, that fills us up when we're empty, it's God again keeping his promises. Spirit of the living God comes as a holy gift from God. It didn't come just once so long ago. It comes and it's poured out upon us and all people to guide us, to empower us, to fill us and make us whole. Let's pray together. Lord God, we give you thanks for your gracious presence that is a gift. God, we ask that you will guide us as we make our way through this life. Lead us always in your will and your way. Let us listen more carefully. Let us watch more intently for the ways that your Spirit is calling. Amen. For those who are serving communion, please come forward.
The Holy Spirit has a lot of different roles and a lot of different functions in the church and in our lives. I think it's just Saturday night. The Holy Spirit is, as Brian said, is the comforter, the consoler, the advocate. It plays lots of different roles in the life of the church. But one of the things I see in the story of Pentecost is that it binds people together who are very different from one another. So at the heart of the story, you have all of these Jews that have come, and Luke lists them there in Acts from places I've never even heard of, like Phrygia and Pamphylia and Elam and lots of other places. Basically, what he was doing was he was listing all of the nations of the known world. Jews from all of these places were there. They spoke different languages. They all had similar background, but they couldn't understand each other. And when the Spirit was poured out on them, suddenly there was a unity there. There was a connection. And that was a miracle. And that's one of the things that the Spirit does. It binds us together. And we experience that unity at this table as well. It's a communion table. It's a place where we celebrate communion, unity. It binds us together, as different as we are. Things like ethnic identity and nationality and language and all of those things fall away. And Christ binds us together as one in the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit binds us together as one in the body of Christ. As we gather here on this night, as one people, to share one loaf of bread, to share one cup, we remember that night when Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my body which is given for you." We remember how he took a cup and after giving thanks gave it to them also. He said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it always in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Lord, as we gather at this table, we remember that we, before all other things, are your children. That you have bound us together through the gift of your Son, through the power of his Holy Spirit, and through his sacrifice on the cross. Even as he experienced the passion at the end of his life, fill us with passion. Fill us with passion to serve you, to love you, to be your people. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name.